In the Mountaintop by Katori Hall, it's the eve of his assassination, and Dr. Martin Luther King cools down in a lonely Memphis hotel room after delivering the speech of a lifetime when an unexpected visit from a feisty young hotel maid pushes King into a confrontation with his doubts, his fears, and haunting premonitions. The man behind the public image and the great ideals that formed a new America come alive in the play that came from London, big hit there, and Broadway. It's currently running at Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York. Here now to tell us more about the production are two members of the cast. Brandon Jones plays Martin Luther King, and Liz Morgan plays that feisty young hotel maid. And it's a great pleasure to welcome you both to the program. Thank you very much. What a delight.
Thanks for having us.
I really appreciate you being here. So things are going very well. The show runs through February 9th. How did this, we'll begin with you, Brandon, of how this came to be.
It came to be, I found out the show was being produced, and I actually contacted the director, Nick, whom I had known from my days at CCM in college.
Yep.
We had worked together, and I reached out to him and just, you know, said, hey, you know, I would love to get in the room and be seen. And so he got me the information for the casting director, and I submitted myself and auditioned, and the rest is history.
CCM standing for?
The College Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay. Man, you have a voice, don't you?
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks. and it's early, but this is the way I talk. This is the way I sound all the time.
It's an authoritative voice that you, I would think you would need for a part like this.
For a part like this, it is helpful. But at the same time, you know, There's history of him having laryngitis, you know, losing his voice, you know, just speaking with such conviction, preaching and speaking so hard. But it's nice to have that, I guess, the voice to use in this particular play.
Can you play with it in the sense of we were listening to? I just noted this yesterday because we heard a lot of different. There was a new tape that came out of the New York State Museum that was played. We played yesterday. We had a special on of MLK yesterday, looking at the last year of his life, which of course this play focuses on the last day, and I found it interesting because we hear the various states of his voice, and I assume that you use that almost as an instrument in this piece, I would think.
Right. And as an actor, you know, your voice is your instrument.
Right.
So I do use it differently throughout the play. You know, there's times when...
There's the fire and brimstone, and then there's just the communication.
Yes.
And...
Yes, and then the king voice is put on at certain points in time throughout the play.
Yeah.
Now,
so let us talk to you, Liz, a little bit about your character. And it's Kamei?
Kamei.
There's a
bit in the play about that, and her teaching Dr. King how to pronounce it.
And but the correct pronunciation in the end, you win, and the pronunciation is
Kamei.
Kamei,
short for Carrie Mae.
What is it like for you to take on a role like this?
It's a little daunting at times because I have to be in a moment where I could possibly just be present with Dr. King, which I think is difficult for a lot of people to imagine. What would you do if you met an icon?
Right.
So at every moment, it's sort of just being very humble and, you know, even a little intimidated by this person who has done so much. But she's feisty in her own right, so she doesn't let that deter her from speaking her mind.
Is there something akin to... I was listening to some wonderful Shakespearean actors talk about you know, feeling up to playing Richard III or feeling up to playing Hamlet, or, you know, is it possible to play these iconic theatrical roles? But to someone who not only is just a role, but was a role model and an icon and someone that we so identify with, and in the grand scheme of things, wasn't around all that long ago.
Right.
Is that at all intimidating?
It's intimidating because he's so revered, not only in the Black community but just around the world,
right.
And he has a national holiday. You know,
yeah.
I mean, King, you know, Richard III doesn't have a holiday.
No,
you know, we don't have portraits of him, you know, in grandmother's house,
or right.
You know, so it is daunting, and at times it can be intimidating. But you have to remind yourself that this is a human being or was a human being, just a man. And you just have to go in there. You've done your preparation. You've done the work. And trust in the work that you've done and the work that your scene partner has done. And just do your best, you know.
So how do you play that in the sense, is it you are trying to capture him in what way? It's not an impression. It's not I guess, selling the lines, the beautiful words that were written.
Right. Katori did a great job of creating atmosphere, creating situations. So I don't have to go in and try to do an impersonation,
right,
or anything like that. I just go in with the givens in the text. And of course, we have sound bites of him. I try to sound somewhat like he spoke when he wasn't at the podium, but then that gets lost in just living in the moment and being in the scene with Liz, because, you know, he puts on the king voice at certain points in time when he thinks that, you know, he needs to use the king voice.
Right.
But you just see him stripped down, raw, as just a man in his hotel room.
And you then, Liz, and your character are able to bring out these various emotions throughout the play. And if anything, you're almost the ringleader, really, aren't you?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept that, you know, if maybe he hadn't met this woman, we would have been watching a show about him maybe writing a speech or something.
Speech.
And, yeah,
you know, keep staying up like... staying up late at night with tea or coffee or what have you, but he happens to meet this person who sort of changes everything for him in one night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that real or imagined, that actual event?
Imagined.
Yeah, completely imagined.
Yeah, so this is definitely not a documentary. It's not a docudrama, you know, so there are facts in the play, but it's definitely not, you know, a documentary at all.
But it from what we know about the last days of his life,
mm-hmm.
He was in a fragile state in the sense that just worn out. Of so much was on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So many people wanted a piece of him.
Right.
And yet you're trying to, for want of a better term, win a movement here, and mm-hmm. And how you're doing it, and what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, and the play kind of explores all that, doesn't it?
It does. It touches on his conflict within himself, also touches on what happened the week prior in Memphis, and how he feels like he needs to finish the job. He needs to get it right this time. And that's something that he took to the grave with him, that, you know, he felt like, you know, they didn't quite get it right. And that's why he returned to Memphis against the wishes of those in his inner circle. They didn't really want him to come back, but he fought for that. You know, I have to go back and do it right this time.
Mm. Liz, what do you think it says about, you know, a character of yours, like yours, that is able to bring out these emotions and to really harness the various thoughts that go through the course of the play?
Yeah, I mean, as Kame puts it, she's not your ordinary old maid. You know, she may be poor, she may be a woman in a time when, more than now, women aren't necessarily viewed as equals. But there's something that's just very special about her that I think captivates King from the moment she you know, comes in with her tray of room service, that just allows him to really engage with some of the most pressing issues of the time. She comes in with, you know, some of the Black Panther mentality and ideology, mm-hmm. And they just get into some very interesting debates about how will the community move forward, how will the Black community move forward, and how will the entire nation continue forward.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not intimidated by him.
Oh, I think she is, but I think she has an inner strength.
There's a confidence.
A confidence that keeps her in the room with him. She can tell very early on that he needs company.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's lonely, so
and
she
to be almost an equal in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She can definitely hold her own.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And to have that confidence and be able to speak your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What has the process been like for you to get ready for a role like this, and to say, okay, I'm gonna do this over however many weeks?
The process has been actually really, really great. I mean, we came in day after Christmas. You know, we arrived in Albany and started rehearsals on the 27th, and pretty much hit the ground running. You know, we started to block the whole piece. But we did a little bit of homework on our own and then brought that into the room. And we've just been able to really work with one another, work with Nick, the director, and ask questions if we had them. And it's really been about shaping the piece, but finding everything organically in terms of blocking, finding certain moments. And if there have been things that we needed to tweak along the way, we took the time to do so. But I think we're really starting to hit a good stride right now and find a good groove and a good rhythm. And what about, it's a better, the best time to do that because, you know, tonight's opening night.
Yeah.
So it's a great time.
Yay!
It's a great time to be where we are. So it's been a wonderful process.
But now you're, it's opening night, but now the first time you've done it in front of an audience here, right?
Correct.
So when the audience comes in after you've been doing your work, that changes everything, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just finding the timing, but you're doing it, you know, sort of day after day in front of the director who's been great about laughing at the jokes, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's still funny anymore. So the first preview was just such a blessing to know what was landing and say, oh, maybe that needs a little bit more time,
or
we can keep pushing forward. They get that. So we've had a really great preview weekend.
And do you, because there is, I mean, obviously it's a theater, so it's meant to be done in front of a crowd, but especially when you've been working on it, of a play in this lonely hotel room in Memphis, and it's the two of you, and you're having this very intimate discussion, and you're rehearsing it day after day with this very intimate group, and then all of a sudden a larger group comes in. I mean, you still have to keep that intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that a challenge at all?
I don't think so, because the production team has done such a wonderful job in creating the atmosphere of the room.
Yeah.
Like when you come see the show, the room feels like a motel room.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's even a little faux ceiling in the room. You know, so everybody's done such a great job with the lighting, the sound, and we've done the work that we needed to do. So if anything, if I feel like, you know, I'm sort of getting off track, I just go back to Liz.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the safe point. Always go back to your scene partner. And I mean, yeah, you know that the people are out there looking at you. There are other faces in the crowd, but at the same time, you realize you have a job to do.
Yeah,
you know, and it takes them out of it if you get lost in their being there. So.
And I just don't wear my contact lenses, so that's how I get by.
She can't see.
Blinders on for that.
Right.
Yeah.
I can only see him through echolocation.
So.
That's a great technique.
That's
I like
right.
that.
I love it. I might do the show tonight without contacts and see how that works.
The Mountaintop by Katori Hall is directed by Nick Mangang. Help me.
Mangano.
Thank you very much. Mangano. It's the second time I screwed that up this morning. And it's starring our guests, Brandon Jones and Liz Morgan. It runs at Capitol Rep in Albany, New York through Sunday, February 9th. For more information, we have it all on our website. Just go there. It's wamc.org/roundtable, and you can find out how you can find out more about the Capitol Rep production of The Mountaintop. It is just a gorgeous show. Brandon Jones, Liz Morgan, I thank you so much for being here. I wish you all the luck in the world, and it's just a delight to see the two of you.
It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.